So, by way of introduction to those friends who will be listening to this podcast via our website at some point, we're meeting in the chapel at Westcote, and we're almost full because of social distancing, of course. We're limited, but there are only two or three spare chairs. I think there's 26 or thereabouts of us. And it's wonderful. We listen to videos. We're not allowed to sing yet, as you will know. We can't wait to sing, but we have to for the moment. We have to obey the rules, if not everyone else does. We'll pass by. I want to talk for a few moments this morning about doors, open doors and closed doors. And we have had read to us from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. So if you want to, if you're listening at home and you want to get your Bible and open up those scriptures, you can pause the recording to do that. Firstly, there is a door to the heart and the presence of God, which is always open. Secondly, there is a door to our own hearts and lives which may be open or it may be closed. And thirdly, there is a door of service to the Lord which is open to us all, but it seems to me at different times and in different directions. Sometimes a door may appear to close, but another one will open. And I would suggest at least one door of service will be open to each of us at any one time. So firstly, the door into the heart and the presence of God. This door, up until now anyway, has always been open. Scripture does indicate that there will come a time when that door will be closed. A sobering thought. But at the moment, it is open. And quoting St. Paul, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." The door to God's presence is Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters in through me, he will be saved." Or again, that wonderful invitation that we've had read to us this morning, which was almost sung to us this morning. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And in John 3, verse 16, that really famous verse, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death for us on the cross, and his glorious resurrection is your password through an open door into heaven. Recently reread an old story of a homeless lad on the streets of Dublin. A kindly man had directed him to a hostel where he could secure a meal and a bed. On being given directions, the lad set off enthusiastically, but the gentleman said, "Wait a minute, young man. You will need a password to get in. Your password is John 3:16. The lad went off muttering the password to himself, lest he forget. Reminds me of Celia, actually, who rang to see how her husband was in hospital a couple of weeks ago in Birmingham, only to be asked if she had a password. Unbelievable, isn't it? Where are we? However, she thought of one very quickly and they accepted it, didn't they? Passwords are a problem for me, actually. Often when you go onto a website, they want your email, they want your password. I have to use one password, or I can't. I won't tell you what it is, else I'm lost. But I have to use one, otherwise I just forget and I'm hopeless. Can't remember what I've originally given them. If you had a capital letter or a number or whatever. There is only one password for heaven. Scripture says there's only one name given among men. The Apostle Peter says it's the name of Jesus. Salvation found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The open door of God's heart is through the name of Jesus. Jesus is the password to heaven. Secondly, while God wants us to come into his presence through the open door, which is Jesus, we don't always respond to that open invitation. And I guess there are a number of reasons for that. We sometimes snub him, we ignore him, don't see the need, turn away. But that's not the end of the story, because God will come knocking on our door, the door of our hearts, the door of our lives. I love the verses which we had read to us this morning. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. What a moving picture this is, and it's captured in Holman Hunt's painting, which a copy of which I should say is in the church at St. Mary's just by the door, Christ the Light of the World. It's often been remarked that in that painting there is no handle on the outside of the door. And it suggests to me that God will never force himself onto us, but he's given us free will. The door handle is on the inside. We can either let him into our lives or keep him out. Sadly, many, seems to me these days, are keeping him in on the outside of the door. So I'm reminded of the chorus of an old hymn, which some of you will know. Room for Jesus, King of Glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. How it must pain the Lord if and when we refuse him entry into our lives, when we feel he's just not important. When we were setting up, trying to set up a new church in Upper Risington, this is a few years ago now, several of us went door knocking. We were encouraged to do that by Peter, the Reverend Peter V. Decay, who is very enthusiastic and has been really committed to that work up there. And I remember saying to him, it's all right for you, Peter, you've got a dog collar on. You know, they kind of know who you are immediately. But anyway, we did go, and some people received us warmly, most politely. But one stands out still in my mind. When the door, after some abusive language, was slammed in our face, or faces, there were two of us. 14 years later, I still remember the incident, and I could take you to the house. How much rather, then, must our Lord feel it when we shut the door in his face, when we reject him? Thirdly and finally, except for two small add-ons at the end, the door of service. I believe a door of service is always open to us, but it may not always be the same door at any one time. If you look through the Acts of the Apostles, and especially in that scripture that we had read to us this morning, it seemed that the Holy Spirit was shutting some doors and opening others. If you look earlier on in the book of the Acts in chapter 8, you will see that following the martyrdom of Stephen, the disciples in Jerusalem were persecuted and they were scattered. But in that scattering, as they shared their faith faithfully, the gospel seed was sown and many people were converted. Philip went to Samaria, where loads of people were converted. So he must have been wondering, well, an angel appeared to him and directed him into the desert to meet one man. But again, it was like another door opening. The Ethiopian man was the Chancellor of the Exchequer of Ethiopia, the Queen of Ethiopia. So he's a very important man. His door was open wide. He was reading from Isaiah 53, that great messianic chapter. And Philip asked him if he knew what he was reading about. The reply was, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And he invited Philip into his chariot to do just that. And Philip led him to Jesus, who he accepted there and then, and was baptized. The Holy Spirit had led Philip to that one man whose heart's door was wide open. And it's thought that the Orthodox Church in Ethiopia and other countries in the area may well owe its beginnings, its origins, to that one incident. So again, in the scripture that we had read, it seemed that there was doors closing and others opening. After Paul had received this vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. My dear friends, that was the beginning of the gospel spreading into Europe. That open door was Europe, where millions of people over the centuries have been brought to faith in Christ. It seemed one door closed, but another opened. Last March, we were obliged to shut the door of our churches and chapels, and they remained closed on and off for months until March this year, when we opened, I think it was on the 7th of March, and we've been able to open ever since. We've experienced the worst pandemic in 100 years, since the Spanish flu, which actually carried off far more people than COVID, and more people, I understand, than were killed in the First World War. So how would this affect the worship, the witness, and the life of our churches? And I know that as we look around, that picture is patchy. John and I were talking before the service. Some churches are only just recently beginning to open. Sadly, some rural churches and chapels are really struggling. But for others, new doors have opened. New opportunities have presented themselves. We have discovered Zoom. I think I'd heard of it. I have mixed feelings about it. But we use it, and we draw together another congregation on Sunday evening. Several of us do both. But mostly it can be a different group of people. And tonight we're going to have the privilege of listening to Penny Frank, who we've listened to here many times, and she's going to be sharing some thoughts with us. So that's a door that's open to us. We've posted messages on our website, as we are doing this morning. In short, new doors have been opened, and the amazing thing is that more people have been reached with the good news of Jesus than ever would have happened if lockdown had not occurred. Far be it from me to boast, like Paul said, I only boast in our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm blessed and encouraged by the way we've had a vision at Westgate to reach out in these different ways to other people. And I trust and pray that as things open up a bit more, we can do more in the community, we can reach out again, we can do cafe church, we can do the... People say, when are you going to do coffee and book swap again? I say, well, as soon as we can. But we look forward to that. There will be more opportunities as time goes on. Our weekly bulletin, which we started way back last year, has gone out to more than 100 households. And people are asking me to continue it. We haven't been able to do it this week, obviously, with Helen in hospital. She couldn't do it. I rely on her. She's got the database. I do it. She sends it out. Hopefully, we may be back on track, all being well, soon. But it's a wonderful blessing to meet in chapel on Sunday mornings. We have to keep to these social distancing restrictions. As I said earlier, we can manage up to about 30 people. And most weeks, we're almost full. Throughout this entire period, we've posted a message most weeks on our website. Back in the lockdown, I came up here to an empty chapel, but I still felt the presence of Jesus as I recorded messages to go onto the website. And often those messages have been listened to many more people, listened to by many more people than we have in our Sunday morning congregation. Doors have been opened to us, and we've been privileged to take up these opportunities. In the letter to Philadelphia that we didn't read just before the Laodicea, the word was, these are the words of him who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. That's a word of encouragement for us today. What is the vision for our church? Will we just drop back to our former patterns, however good they may have been? Or do we take up the challenge of continuing to use tools which the Lord has given us to share the good news and use the open doors? I'm through. Almost. I did mention add-ons. I got one. I couldn't conclude this message on open and closed doors without mentioning the wonderful charity which is on our doorsteps, headquarters at Witney, called Open Doors. A wonderful work which I commend to you, supporting and representing persecuted Christians throughout the world. Started by Brother Andrew, and there is a book written about him, God Smuggler, who took Bibles through closed borders, hidden in the backs of cars, into the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe and China, risking life and freedom. Today the work continues. Some of those countries are now open to the gospel. Some, like China and North Korea, are not. So the work continues there, but now includes other countries, mainly where militant Islam holds sway, where to become a Christian is very, very dangerous. I was only reading this morning, because you can get, I'm not sure if there's any left up there, they do a prayer diary monthly, and they send it to me, and I was only reading, I think it was in Central Asia, they don't give any of the names, of course, that would be far too dangerous. A mullah and his family have been converted to Christ, and that is very, very dangerous for them. They need our prayers and they need our financial support. We do support them from this chapel. So may I pass that challenge on to all of us today as we consider, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, what doors of Christian service are open to us and where God is leading us. Now, I know that some might say, I can't do very much. I'm just not physically up to it. The Lord knows all about that. But pray for those who can and encourage those who can and will, because that is so important. Encourage the leaders of your church and chapel, because that is so important. That is an open door for everybody. Everyone can pray. Everyone can give a word of encouragement. So no one is left out of this.